Welcome to On Being Happier, Thinking with Heart and Mind, a podcast emphasizing the heart's role in happiness, in sound decision-making, and in being at our best. Hi, my name is Ron Schneebaum. I'm a physician, work at the outpatient arm of the Children's Hospital at Dartmouth, and serve on the clinical faculty at Dartmouth College's Geisel School of Medicine. I'm convinced that nothing's more important to the human psyche than love. I've worked at thinking with both heart and mind for over 40 years. While intellectual analysis generally carries the banner of thinker, to leave out the heart is to leave out something vital. Language reminds us of the importance of the heart. To do something half-heartedly or to not put our hearts into an activity means we didn't do it well. And to be heartless is not a compliment. We involve our hearts wherever we care the most, where heart and mind work together, we're happier, have richer relationships, and greater practical success. We are fully present and we are fully ourselves. It's the art of living well. Each episode of this podcast presents a different aspect of thinking with heart and mind. Together, I hope they paint a full and broad picture. I developed this podcast to not only describe a lost art, but to also offer challenges and tools that interested listeners can use to incorporate thinking with the heart and mind into all aspects of their lives. The ideas in this podcast are my own, and the stories have been altered to protect privacy. This podcast is not a substitute for medical advice. If you are experiencing significant difficulties, please seek professional help. I thank you for joining me on this venture. My very best and be well, Ron. Episode 19, Working Through Emotions and Feelings with Heart and Mind, Part 2 of 2. The first of this series of episodes looked at how we can work through our emotions and feelings and begin to heal old wounds, so we can be more present, more fully ourselves, and enjoy life more. This episode will look at how we can take what we learned and apply that to our relationships. And I will present this through three different stories from my practice. Felix, a 14-year-old, came in for his yearly physical. I didn't know him. He had been seeing one of my colleagues before this. So I looked through his chart before I went into the room to try to catch up on whatever I needed to know about him. I saw that at his last physical, he was someone who had done well at school, had done well at home, and it was also mentioned that he was a good kid. He had come in with his dad this day, and after going over any concerns that his dad had, we were generally chatting, and he too mentioned that he was a great kid. He also said that he had problems with his temper and was in counseling for that. I tried to get a sense of how these two reconciled. On the one hand, him being a great kid, on the other hand, him having a temper and needing to go to counseling because of that. But the father didn't help in clearing that up. During visits with teenagers, I send the parents out of the room so I can spend some time with the teenagers alone. This way they can bring up anything that they feel funny bringing up in front of their parents, and it's also a time for me to highlight that I'm their doctor and not their parents' doctor, that if they have a problem, they can talk with me. I tried to get a sense of where his anger came from, so I talked to him about various areas of his life to see if there are any touchstones. He said that he did fine with his parents and with his step-parents. He also said that he did very well with his brother. When we got to his stepfather's children, however, he said that's where the problem is. He thinks that they are spoiled and that they get away with everything. When he spoke about them, he didn't seem that upset. It seemed like it fit in the realm of a normal childhood reaction. I then asked about other aspects of his life, and he thought, no, this is the only situation that causes me to be angry. The second story is of a 19-year-old named Jason, who had called my office saying that he was anxious and depressed and didn't know what to do. Since it would take a long time for him to get an appointment with a psychologist or psychiatrist, my nurse and I thought that he'd be better off starting with me. When he came in for his appointment, I saw someone who looked well-groomed and looked appropriate and was able to talk directly to me, but he also said that he was having a very hard time. We talked for a while, and I learned that he was a freshman in college, decided to go to a school that was about a half hour away, and opted to commute to it. He got overwhelmed with how much work there was at the very beginning and fell behind. He just couldn't catch up, and he couldn't keep up. In addition, he felt his mom's house, where he was living, was rather depressing. When I talked about dorm life, his eyes lit up as if he were saying to himself, "Boy, I wish that's what I had for my living situation." And he said that he hadn't been depressed or anxious before this semester, and that there were no other areas that were a problem for him. The third story is not quite a story. It's about my visit with families who have newborns, especially families for whom this is a first child. After examining the baby and talking about newborn care and other issues that might arise, I say to them, "The next piece of advice I give you is probably the most valuable thing I say. It has not only to do with immediate newborn care, but it's really not bad advice for your child's entire life. Completely ignore anyone who gives you advice you didn't ask for." They chuckle when I say that. Listening to this advice is akin to a telemarketer calling to tell you how to spend your money. If they get insistent, say they don't do that anymore. It's probably grandparents. They can't argue with you because there's no they present, and eventually they realize that, yep, things really are different. I am in the unusual situation of being a physician. People come to me with their questions and concerns and expect me to offer my opinions. In the case of Felix, I was able to reassure his dad that my sense was his anger issues weren't very deep and shouldn't be of great concern. They were a typical reaction for a child with stepsisters and brothers. That doesn't mean these feelings should be totally ignored, but they don't represent a deep issue. And we talked about new possibilities for going forward. Through my conversation with Jason, I could not only understand the roots of his problem, but we could also talk about a way out. I suggested that he doesn't need to stay in this situation. We all make mistakes, and he can decide that he made a wrong choice. Could be that it's the wrong major, and it also could be that he misses a dorm-like situation. He felt terrible. He felt that he disappointed his mom and that she had spent money on him already. I said, "Look, she wants you to be happy. The first thing you can do is talk with her and tell her the situation that you're in and how you think you made a mistake. You'll be able to work it out. If you feel uncomfortable about having that conversation with her, come in. We can do this together." I could give this advice in a way that parallels what was discussed in the first episode of this series. Instead of using my inner sense to understand how deeply something bothers me, I could use that to get a sense of the level of Felix's upset. My conversation with Jason allowed me to understand the roots of his problem, just as we could use our emotions and feelings as a kind of a light to help us find what happened that bothers us and that we can now begin to heal. The third story is probably the most important. We live in an age where we almost reflexively give advice whether we're asked for it or not. And this happens in several ways. I once mentioned to a group of friends that I was going on a diet. I wasn't asking for their advice, but I got slammed with negativity. I was told I shouldn't go on a diet. Diets aren't helpful. I need to change my eating pattern. Otherwise, I'll just gain back whatever I've lost. When I mentioned which diet I was thinking of undertaking, I was told that's not a good one. It doesn't help. And further, it's not good for you. And this went on with several other people commenting. It's easy to see how this advice is filled with judgment. And what we learned in episode 17, the first of this series, is that one of our healing processes is to step away from the judgments that were heaped upon us and heal those to realize that they weren't really about us. They were reflections of the people who judged us. When we give such judgmental advice, we not only squelch someone's idea and enthusiasm, we also trigger their old hurtful memories. There's no reason for us to do this. It doesn't serve anything. And again, remember here I'm talking about unasked for advice. If someone asks for our advice, whatever it is that we say won't be delivered with such heaviness because our aim is to really share an idea. And we recognize that we don't know everything. We just know what worked for us. A second kind of unasked for advice is also very common. In pre-COVID times, I once mentioned that I had a cold, and the people around me told me what to do. I should take a certain cough and cold medicine, I should eat a certain something, I should sleep a certain amount. I didn't ask their opinion. They weren't even taking into account that I was a physician. They couldn't help themselves. They had to offer their unasked for opinion. This evokes something that's a little bit different than the judgmental advice, but it again has a negative effect. I think of it as having a turtling effect. If, while working on my emotions with heart and mind as described in episode 17, I work on healing and I work on stepping out into the world, such unasked for advice causes me to go back into my shell and not offer my thoughts about my experience and my plans. If we think about how this works, if it happens to us, we'll notice that it does cause us to withdraw, the opposite of what we'd like to do as we're trying to grow and heal. This isn't about being overly cautious and not wanting to speak our mind to someone we care about. It's about not offering our advice when we weren't asked for it. A third kind of unasked for advice occurs when we're going through a difficult time. If I mention to somebody that I'm hurting, either because of a disagreement with someone, because of a financial issue, or because of a loss, I'll commonly hear such things as, "Oh, don't worry, you'll get through it, you're strong. God only gives us what we can manage. Life gives us lemons so we can learn to make lemonade." Or other such positives to try to get me through it. But these don't get me through it at all. As we again learned in the earlier episode in this series, to work through our emotions and feelings, we have to live them. Here I'm hurting, and I'm simply expressing this hurt. When someone tries to make me feel better, they're saying one of two things. Either, this makes me feel bad and uncomfortable, and I don't want to stay in that position, or it triggers similar feelings in me, and I don't want to stay in that situation. So they use their positivity to get me through this. This doesn't help, it doesn't help me grow, and it doesn't support me. I simply want someone who's able to be there. When we're with someone who's going through difficult times, we don't have to do anything. We only need to be there with them in that space. In episode 17, we also learned about compartmentalizing. Here is a time when we can use that. We can sequester off our own negative feelings and be with our friend. That's what they want. That's what supports them. That's what we can do when we don't offer our unasked for suggestions. The bonus episode in this series showed that when we open ourselves to love, when we take in love, it changes how we see the world. This section also showed that when we do something for another, not only do they feel better, we do. This is an example of that. We can hold off on giving advice that's unasked for because it serves another. We know that it does because of the work that we do on ourselves, and when we reflect, we see how unasked for advice isn't helpful. Taking the place of this advice is a connection. Instead of being distracted by what we want to say, We can be with our friends, we can be with another person, and this builds closer, deeper relationships. As we make this part of our everyday interactions, we feel enriched, we feel stronger, we feel better. We can even start to feel joyful. If you've not recently listened to the episode on forgiveness, or if you haven't recently listened to the episode, The Psychology of Heart and Mind, go back to those. They'll be helpful in strengthening the points made here. I developed this podcast to not only share my thoughts about the power and value in thinking with heart and mind, but to also help interested listeners incorporate these ideas into their lives. To that end, I created exercises for this episode. The exercises for this episode are based on letting go of unasked for advice, and it's divided into parts. The first is to look at the idea of letting go of unasked for advice in your own life. See where others have come in with comments, criticisms, or a desire to make you feel better. Did you like it? Was it helpful? Did it work? The next exercise is to notice how much you do this in your regular life. Now here there's another twist. It could be that you don't criticize others to their face, but you do when they're not around. Part of this exercise is also to let go of that criticism. Nobody needs it. You wouldn't like it. Nobody else does. The third part of the exercise is to practice. Practice letting go of giving such advice. I think you'll see how very hard it is. It runs counter to our modern culture. The fourth part of the exercise is to see that if you do something for another, if you hold back on ask for advice and instead are there with them, does that help build your relationship? Do you feel stronger bonds? Do you appreciate each other more? To further help interested listeners, these exercises are in the show notes for the episode. The show notes can be found at the homepage of where you listen to podcasts or at the podcast website. The website is ronschneebaummd.com, and it can also be found by searching onbeinghappier.com. If you search for onbeinghappier.com, onbeinghappier must be one word. In addition to the show notes, at the website is a picture with the words, working through emotions and feelings with heart and mind. The picture comes in a small size and in a larger size. The small size can be downloaded and used as a wallpaper for your phone. The larger size can be downloaded and used as a screensaver for your tablet or laptop. I find that having a picture with the words in front of me of something I'm working on is very helpful. I try to produce these podcasts every 2 weeks. Some episodes, like this one, take a very long time. Besides my medical practice and some other work that I had to do outside of that, I had to get it right, and it took a surprisingly long time for all the ideas to fall into place. The time between episodes can be used to think through and work through the ideas presented. If you're streaming the podcast, instead of going from one to another, spend a little bit of time working on these ideas so they become tools in your toolkit to use in your everyday life. I receive nothing for this podcast and take no advertising. It is a gift. It is my way of giving back for all that I've learned. The one thing I do ask of listeners is that you share it. Share it widely. Share it with friends. Share it with colleagues. Share it with family members. Share it with anyone who you think would like to hear more about being happier and using their hearts as well as their minds. With the current rate of sharing, this podcast is already heard throughout the world. It's heard almost across the United States, and it's heard in such distant regions as Ghana, Lebanon, Israel, South Korea, and Russia. I thank you so much for all the sharing you do. I also have a social media presence. You can join on Being Happier on Facebook and also on Instagram. I also ask that you subscribe to the podcast. By subscribing, you'll be notified of the podcast as each episode is completed. If you have any questions about this episode or about the content in any episode, you can email me at ron@onbeinghappier.com. Write question in the subject line. If you have any comments about this episode or ideas for future episode, write comments in the subject line. And if you would like to receive a newsletter, which I will indeed one day produce, write newsletter in the subject line. I enjoy spending our time together. I look forward till our next time. Until then, I wish you all my very best and be well, Ron.